the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's time, anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, Sweet Home Alabama,
right?
The national champions once again reside in Tuscaloosa.
This is just another year, right?
Nobody's surprised. Alabama wins it 52-24. Not much of a contest. We'll get into it here on the show tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got some FCS college football to talk about, some conference reshufflings going on we'll get into, the Southland and the WAC, the new WAC.
It's back.
The WAC is back, baby, and it's going to look weird, so we'll talk about that. We will talk Bison basketball, as the Bison and the Squawks renew rivalries this weekend, both the men's and the women's side. We've obviously got the NFL playoffs, a divisional round to look ahead, the best quality weekend of football that we have, and the NBA went insane this week.
Yeah, it did.
So we'll have to talk about that a little bit tonight as well. So we've got a lot to get to, and as we speak, going on right now, it's also the first night of this. Little wild hockey.
Am I really supposed to care?
No, I'm just telling you that starts tonight. So
I don't care.
I just wanted to let you know that it was on the air.
No, that's fine.
That the Minnesota Wild are back in and with the following. Wait for it. There you go.
Is that the Wild Fight Song?
That's the Wild Fight Song.
Good.
You kind of like that one, don't
you? That's really good.
We have to, when we get some relevant time again to talk puck,
that's really good.
We've talked more puck on this show in the last couple episodes.
We're violating a sin of this show.
I know. We did. You know, originally, this is episode, 102 now?
Yeah.
We did say we were never going to talk hockey, but I got a little soft over the last few months with COVID and everything. So, but anyway, Wild and the Kings locked up at zero, shocker, in the first period.
Watch the Fargo Force. They're good.
As we record this. Yeah,
the Force are better than the Wild right now.
You just like it because you get to get in the suite, that's all.
They're a good hockey team. At least they've won a cup.
That's true. Well, let's talk about what we saw on Monday night. It wasn't a surprise.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. I guess the relevant facts are these. It's Alabama throwing for 464 yards, 5 touchdowns for Mac Jones.
Right.
It's Devontae Smith having, listen to this,
the best half of football I've ever heard.
12 catches for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he played half the friggin' game.
And he broke his hand in the second half.
Unbelievable. Najee Harris, I didn't even realize he had 158 yards in the game.
And
that was 156 more than Trey Sermon had, who two yards, and he gone. And after that, there was no running game.
What exactly was his injury?
For Ohio State. I never did see what happened
to him. I don't
know
what his injury was. He's in the hospital for some reason.
Yeah, and so for Alabama, the 6th title in the last 12 years, Nick Saban's 7th title.
One at LSU.
Unbelievable. Bama rolls up over 620 yards of offense. Led at the half 35-17.
It was over.
And it was pretty much over at that point. But the most relevant part of the game, I must acknowledge, occurred at the end. I don't know what you're trying to do there, but
it's a bad beat.
52-24.
The Buckeyes are at the goal line.
First
and can't get the damn thing in the end zone.
And thus the tiebreaker on points. I had 78, I think, or 79, and Grant had 78. So the tie, we both picked Alabama and obviously the cover. But Yes. Open the Sour Patch Kids up. The legend has won. The legend has won the bowl contest for 2021. Tiebreaker edge on that play, so that's what cost me the tiebreaker. So congratulations as you
shall enjoy them.
Enjoy the Sour Patch Kids. You know, overall, I don't think it was a real big surprise to anybody, Grant, what happened in the game. Just your observations on what happened.
I think Sean Wade said, I want Devontae Smith. You got him.
Sean Wade, the corner for Ohio State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wanted him. You couldn't find him because he was in the end zone more than you, because he couldn't cover it. I mean, Sean Wade, he's supposed to be a great corner. He's really lazy at times. He gives guys way too much separation off the line. He's pretty lazy in his route. Pretty lazy covering defenders. And just like, he's an okay corner. He's nothing special. But I just think this Bama looks so much better.
Did you think at any point in the game Alabama was in danger of losing?
Nope.
Even when it was tied? And the only play that I had any doubt was when Jones fumbled on, the 15-yard line,
right,
and then they walked
scored,
in
yeah.
with it. But
no,
Alabama
but,
comes
but,
back
but
and...
I'm like, Bama was going to score regardless of what... Ohio State could put up a fight at some point, but they were going to blow them out at some point. It was just a matter of time.
Right. It was a matter of time. And, you know, Justin Fields, I don't know, how healthy do you think he was?
I thought he was almost 100% healthy. He looked
like Did he look like it to you?
Mm-hmm. I thought he was healthy. I just don't think he could really go anywhere. The offensive line was really collapsing. I mean, they were getting a lot of pressure on Fields towards that in that game too. I mean, when you're down by that many points, you got to throw the ball. I mean, 5 yards isn't going to make a hell of a difference. You got to be able to throw the ball downfield consistently. So that's really what it boiled down to.
Okay. Well, in Alabama, obviously they're going to lose a ton of talent. Smith, Jones, generic names. Smith, Jones, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain all declaring for the NFL draft.
Leatherwood, their guard.
Who's the center? The one that played the two snaps at the end.
I have no idea who
you are. Sure that isn't Leatherwood?
No.
Okay. Well, the center, he's supposed to be. He was the Remington Award winner. Same old for Alabama. Nothing changes. And it's not, again, it's not that Ohio State isn't a good football team. They're just not on the same level.
No.
As Clemson, as Ohio State.
Right.
Clemson, Ohio State, all those teams are just not on the same level as Alabama.
They're not Bama. Correct.
And would you say that this is the best title team? We had this debate a little bit during the game. 2020 Alabama or 2019 LSU?
We said the best offense. And I
well, let's widen the scope to team, though.
That's tough. Honestly, I thought LSU's defense last year was better than because LSU, they really crushed everybody, but they did it on defense too. Alabama gave up a lot of points in games. Florida gave up 45. They gave 45 to Florida. Ole Miss scored a lot. I think it scored over 40 points. I think LSU was the better overall team, but I think Alabama had the better offense.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Just the amount of points, Bama gave up in a couple games.
I would have been interested to see that the two offenses. It could have been, and I know they played. We were at the wedding that weekend. I remember that weekend Alabama and LSU played, and it was an offensive shootout.
Right.
But LSU's offense was just a little bit better.
Right.
I wonder in a game of this magnitude, if it was in a neutral field national title game, how that would have looked.
Right.
It would have been a fun game to watch,
right.
I'll tell you that.
Right.
But I don't think there's any question that Alabama had to go undefeated against an SEC schedule and then beat Notre Dame and the co-ACC champ and then beat the Big Ten champ. Granted, not ideal setting.
Right.
But I think Ohio State, even with a few more wins, I don't think it changes anything. I think they were the second best team. I think they showed
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And there's no shame in that.
I mean, you can't blame them for only having 7 wins, okay? The schedule, they've had a lot. If they would have played the Michigan game, nobody would have cared. Because it's like...
It's okay. Michigan. By the way, they signed Harbaugh for a 5-year extension.
God
really?
Bless Michigan.
Ohio State fans are liking that all day.
They're liking that tweet. Just like... What are you thinking if you're Michigan?
Yeah,
I mean, more mediocrity. I mean, it's like the Brady Hoke era. It's just mediocre every year.
Just a couple of notes on Alabama before we move off that. Bill O'Brien, the former coach of the Texans, is going to be the offensive coordinator. He'll replace Steve Sarkisian, who's going to Texas.
Hook him.
Which he'll find that there is not Devontae Smith.
Right. There's nobody.
I'm just amazed that, and I don't know how good a receiver Devontae Smith looks like. Guy, it looks like a guy to me who's going to get hurt in the NFL.
No, like, I forget which analyst it was who was describing Smith, and he's like, I think it was Desmond Howard. He wasn't worried about his about his weight, and I'm like, you sure?
He looks frail.
He's like 175,
and I know he's a chisel.
I think it was Nate Burleson. He's like, I don't see anything wrong with him. I'm like, you sure? Because he needs to get more muscle. He needs some Kramer time.
Well, he'll get an NFL weight room, and right. that'll take care of that.
But it's just like, I think of the way Starkey's and just the plays that were called. He's moving constantly, so he's going to be open a lot.
Right, but the NFL, again, will take that stuff away, and mm-hmm. you'll get hit at the line of scrimmage by physical corners.
Right.
It also helps when you're being covered by a middle linebacker, like that one play where Smith just went over the middle and there was nobody
slowest
there.
Slowest linebacker I've ever seen.
You know, the nearest guy to him would have been in Pensacola somewhere. He was that
somewhere
wide
in Daytona
open.
Beach.
Yeah, it was ugly. So, congrats to Alabama. Ohio State put up a good fight.
We know what winning titles is like.
Right.
So.
Well, now we move into the FCS season, of course. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk a little bit tonight. And again, is this a really big deal to a lot of people? No.
To Bison fans?
But to Bison fans,
not really.
It's worth noting.
It's worth noting.
What's about to happen here. So the Southland Conference, which most of us know to include the likes of Slapnut Sisters of the Poor.
A.K.A. Sam Houston State.
Sam Houston State.
Lamar.
A multiple-time Bison victim.
Right.
So, and of course, Central Arkansas, who the Bison beat earlier this quote-unquote season, whatever mm-hmm. we're calling it. So Central Arkansas, Houston Baptist with your guy Bailey.
He transferred out.
Yeah, he transferred out, but that's what everybody might know them from. The Word, who was here for game
the
day.
The Word
McNeese.
Not McNeese State, just McNeese?
Yeah, no, okay, McNeese State, fine.
What are they?
It's McNeese State. Mm-hmm. And then Nollins, University of New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And then Northwestern State, who the Bison beat early in the D1 era. Southeast Louisiana. And Nichols, who, of course, the Bison beat last year in the second round, right?
Nichols, yeah.
Yeah, Nichols was the second round. They gave the Bison a little bit of a fit early on. But
for about a half.
With that one running back, everybody
Julian
got a big
Gum,
chubby
yeah.
about.
And Dejon Dixon, the receiver.
And then Forcade, the quarterback. Yeah.
He looks like a face he's want to punch.
So that's the eight that are going to be left in the Southland. The Abilene Christian, Lamar, Stephen F. Austin, and Sam Houston are going to the
WAC.
The WAC, which used to be like BYU in those schools.
Now and that's Boise gonna, State and everything.
Yeah. Now that's going to be an FCS league along with Tarleton State. And then Texas Rio Grande Valley, a former Bison basketball opponent. So that's going to be the Texas division of the WAC. All
right.
And then in the WAC West, yes, I know that's what it's called, you're going to have Grand Canyon. Now, these aren't going to be all football schools.
The online university?
Yeah, no, New Mexico State, California Baptist.
Mexico State?
Yeah, they're going to play at the FCS level or FBS level. And play an independent schedule according to this down there after the WAC goes full tilt in 22.
Okay.
Utah Valley, who the Bison have played in hoops a few times. Right. Dixie State, which is actually in, you would think Dixie would be in southeast Louisiana or something, but it's actually in Utah.
Right.
And then our old friends, the Thunderbirds from southern Utah, who would in Cedar City.
They made a playoff appearance a couple years ago.
And they have a great golf team, by the way, apparently, from what I understand. So. Chicago State will leave the WAC. Didn't even know they were in the WAC. Don't care that they were. But they had moved into the WAC, and our new friends in Missouri, Kansas City, the Ruse, who have joined the Summit League, they were in the WAC and moved out. Makes me think the Summit might have a thought about pulling Chicago State in at a later point.
Right,
might be if they need, when St. Thomas gets in, presumably they'll get to that point. I could see Chicago State moving into the Summit. It would be an ideal fit given the footprint for that.
Right, oh, league, yeah.
And then Central Arkansas is being rumored to move out of the Southland to some kind of Atlantic Sun Conference, which they're looking at creating. Don't ask me how that's all going to work.
We're creating more conferences.
Apparently.
Why?
So for football, the WAC is going to be right now. Central Arkansas, or excuse me, not Central Arkansas. Lamar, Stephen F. Austin, Sammy, Abilene Christian, Southern Utah, Tarleton, Dixie. So there's going to be an automatic qualifier for the WAC right away.
Why are we making more conferences?
Well, I think the feeling with the Southland teams, from what I've been reading from Izzo and McFeely, is I don't think there's as great a commitment to playing football at the FCS level by those schools. And they want to be in a school. The biggest thing about the WAC is that all of those schools I mentioned, they want to play football eventually at the FBS level.
Really? Are you kidding me?
No, that's what their goal. Their stated goal in the conference
in the WAC conference
is to move to the FBS level.
For what reason? For what reason is that necessary? It's infantry going where it's NDSU, not you guys. What, you going to the Sun Belt? Where are you going to go?
Again, in a few weeks, or maybe next week or the week after, I will lay out for you why that is a bad idea, why the Bison should stay for now in FCS.
If you're in the FCS, stay at the FCS.
Stay level. In that level and not move for at least a few more years. Nothing wrong with looking at it, but I am firmly in favor of staying there. I will lay out the reasons why. We will discuss at a later point. But this whole thing strikes me as odd. First of all, none of these teams, with the exception of Sam Houston, has made any dent or national relevance in the playoffs whatsoever in years. Sammy's been to the quarters and the semis, national championships, obviously.
I mean, what makes you say we can go to the FBS and win? Is it Coastal that's making everybody think, ooh, we could do this? Is it really Coastal?
It's really the Coastal effect. And again, that's the greatest you're going to get is the Cure Bowl.
And get beat in a bowl game.
By Liberty.
Still
should be FCS.
Like, I've heard people, like, Coastal should be a top 10 team because you beat BYU. Who cares?
You know my relationship with the Fraudulent Rooster fan base is not a good one.
It just seems like people just tune out the reality that we shouldn't go anywhere, but money drives everything, and we have to do it.
These schools are almost completely irrelevant at the FCS level. Again,
what makes you think you're irrelevant at the FBS level?
Outside of Sam Houston, who's made national title game a few times, made the semis.
And lost.
And maybe you could make a case for example, Nichols, who's gotten to the quarters.
No.
Central Arkansas has gotten to the quarters. No. I think they have.
Yeah.
McNeese and Southeast have made the playoffs.
Who cares?
Who cares?
So making the playoffs says we should go to the FBS? Is that what we sincerely
Apparently that's what we're doing.
But funny, the smart ones like NDSU were thinking, no, I don't think so. Even in South Dakota, better example, South Dakota State. They're not going anywhere. If you can hardly beat the top, your measuring stick should be, or JMU, your measuring stick is, if we can continue to be relevant at the FCS level for the next decade, then yeah, I could see that happening, but if you're saying the state has fallen off from where they were, it makes no sense to me.
Just to clear up one other thing on the FBS front, Dom Izzo had an interview with Matt Larson, the North Dakota State Athletic Director. Larson said that he has not been contacted by the Mountain West. He has not been. Now, would that discussion occur at the Brashani level?
Probably.
I don't know. Presumably Larson would be aware.
Right.
So everybody's like, well, the Bison talked about it.
They didn't talk about anything.
If the Bison haven't considered that as part of a strategic plan or look forward to athletics, then they're not doing their job. But they're not going to come around and say, yeah, we want to be in the Mountain West. No way they're going to say that. No way.
I would haul off for at least the indoor practice facilities built.
Yeah, and that's coming.
Because that's a huge recruiting tool as well.
Well, it's a necessary.
Because even South Dakota State has one of those.
It's a keeping up with the Joneses thing.
Well, yep. And because, again, where are you located? The middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Fargo, North Dakota. I mean, it's harsh winters up here. I mean, not this year, but in past years.
Well, to be good thing about tonight, that's a little bit of a different story.
No, right, but most of the winter's been in the upper 30s. But,
right.
But it's key, because that bubble they have over Dakota Field isn't going to work forever. It's a temporary thing that you just need to get off. And this Dakota Field is your soccer field from now on. Just move on. But you need to have an indoor facility at some point.
I think you're right. But that's the college football landscape of what we see at this hour, and it'll be interesting to see how that develops here in the next few weeks. Now, I don't know how much more. We already know Indiana State's not going to play. We heard Dayton isn't going to play. They have not.
Who cares?
They haven't realigned the schedule yet for the Valley. Maybe we'll have news on next week. Matt Larson said they are talking about that. So we'll have to see what happens going forward on that front. Wanted to talk briefly about Bison basketball right here going into the weekend coming up, because you know, sneaking up on people.
I guess you're right.
It's Bison Squawks weekend, and
we're going to beat them twice.
And the Bison come into this, they've leveled the record. They're 4-0 in the conference, 6-6 overall. So they've gotten back to 500, which, considering their start, is a pretty good achievement.
But, I mean,
UND
again, who do they play, though? The higher echelon of the Division
I. UND comes in at 2-2. They've split with, the Bison have swept Western Illinois and Omaha. Not exactly murderer's row.
No, but Omaha used to be.
Right. And Private Pile and the gang are not playing well. UND comes in 2-2. They split with the Ruse, UMKC, and split with Oral Roberts, which is a good win for UND. So they come into a 3-10. Not exactly a, you know, overwhelming performance there at Grand Forks. So, but again, no crowd.
Right.
So if you're going to play them in Grand Forks, this is the time to do it. Bison should be very comfortable with at least a split, but I see them winning them both this weekend.
I do too. I mean, who's their best player? Rochino is Hot Sauce their best player now?
I think he's about their offensive. When you look at how much Marlon Stewart not being on that team...
Oh, God, it affects him.
I think it affects him big time. But remember, these guys, they played a slog with UND earlier this year in that Dakota Showcase BS tournament.
Right.
And it was 53-52 or whatever, and the Bison really... I think you're going to see a completely different Bison team.
Right. But it's just like... But Cruiser's improved as a defender. He shut down Pyle in those two games. It's King Tut. They couldn't stop. But... That's the thing, my long-term worry with NDSU is if there's a second big man on the floor, they really struggle with that second guy because no one can match up with him.
Right.
I mean, Tut's taller than any guard. They have Griesel guarding him, like an Edie guarding him. It's a bad matchup if you have a second big man. But I mean, Oral Roberts might be the worst matchup for NDSU just because they have so many big guys they can use.
Well, O'Banner is a load, but. You know, if Cruiser can stay out of foul trouble against him, I think that's a key.
Yeah.
They don't have the big body down low to absorb other fouls.
And Tyler Woods hasn't played much this year.
No, and I don't think there's been a real need for him, too. But he's the kind of guy you're going to need for stretches against a team like ORU. And probably against the South Dakota State, too, because you got to keep Rocky out of foul trouble.
Is that the only reason people like Oral Roberts? Is it because of O'Banner?
Well, he is a pretty talented player.
Right, but I mean... Stanley Muda is pretty good too.
Right, but he's
like
Muda kind of disappeared at the end last year when South Dakota was trying to make that run, and I don't know what the deal is with
him. But it's just like the Bison, there's so many great players that they can use on the show.
Well, I don't know about great. They have good.
But good, right, but young.
They don't have anybody who's the capability of Shahid or Ward, but I think
I miss that.
I think if you look at their starting five right now, it's probably more solid all around than they were with Shahid and Ward.
Last year's team was one of the greatest starting lines I've ever seen. I mean,
outside, I know we went through that exercise.
This team doesn't have, if you need a three at the end of the game, who do you? There isn't that guy.
The Woodside Winkleman team for me will never be
close. Last year's team, are you sure that's the most talented starting five you've ever seen?
I think Woodside alone. Himself was as good in Woodside could take over games. Shahid could take over games, but Woodside level takeover of games,
but I mean,
was a whole different level
Shahid,
to watch.
Shahid, who could go one on one with anybody.
Yeah, but Vinny never dropped 63 in a game.
Samuelson was the best three ball you've ever. Like if he shot a three in the corner,
no
he was
beard
naked.
Boy could make the threes like
and Griesel. As a sophomore,
let's be careful. Griesel's not the shooter that.
No, but he's a dry. But hey, you need to shove him into the game. He's your man.
I think what I like about NDSU more now is they're a stronger rebounding team, but they're going to need to be when they face shooters. If the shots aren't going down, they need to create second chance opportunities.
Right.
And I hope they're built to do that a little bit better this year. And Harden, Hayes, Grant Nelson, they've got some length.
Hayes has improved over a year.
Yeah.
Hayes is a freshman last year, I get it. But Grant Nelson's been amazing this year.
Bison, by the way, Joe Lenardi's bracketology, the Bison right now, of course, has the projected Summit League champion.
Really?
They would be the 16 seed
against
Ivanova.
Oh, okay.
Villanova.
Could be Kansas again? Because we could be, I mean, we've shown we can at least put a fight against Kansas.
Well, I would think that the Bison would have, if all went well, they would certainly have a shot to get into the play-in round, which, of course,
should be played.
You know where that game needs to be played. At the Knightstown Gym in Hoosierville.
Does it get good at some point? Or
what?
You just wait? Okay, there it is.
Well, I didn't want it. Yeah. Did you want this part?
Yes.
Oh, you wanted this part. Wait.
There you go. There,
this is the part you wanted? Okay, sorry.
There you go.
All I see here is like
Jimmy Chitwood
pulling up and Raid Butcher with the one-legged three-pointer.
And that's Southside Central.
It's so good. Anyway. So, yeah, well, that's what we need. But anyway, the Bison are projected right now to be in that number 16
seed. Not being the first four?
Not being the first four. But, okay. But that's where they might be in that range.
If it was playing at that gym, I would want
them. I'd tank to get to the next to that. Anyway, Bison women, 3-1 on the year, 8-2 overall. UND has not won a league game at 0-3, and they are 0-9, UND's women. This could be a big weekend for the NDSC women again.
Can we just hand Jory the coach of the year now?
I don't think there's any question if they continue on this basis.
Just give it to him now.
He's the coach of the year. So
he's done a hell of a job.
Well, let's move away from that, and then we'll. I don't know. You tell me. You want to talk hoops or do you want to talk football? Quick. Which do we want to go to? Do you want to do that? I don't know.
Probably hoops.
You want to do hoops?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do. The association. We'll save the NFL for last. But Colin. Interesting weekend. Or week in the NBA. First of all, before we get to that, we need to find out something. Because it kind of drives what happened this week, and we have to understand it. So we have to play this game. Because we're trying to find something out. And it has to do with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, people have been looking for him. They can't seem to come up with where he is. So we're going to have to play a little game we call Kyrie Irving. So
that's good.
We don't have the foggiest idea what the hell Kyrie Irving's been doing.
What and where he is.
He apparently showed up on some birthday party Zoom video or something.
Without a mask on.
Without a mask on. So apparently he's not in quarantine protocol. This is Rockapella, by the way, the acapella group. Chicago to Czechoslovakia. Okay, I just like that part. Anyway, back to the association music here. But interesting to see, because I think that sort of helped drive what we saw this week. Because obviously, in case you haven't heard, and
he hasn't been living under a rock.
Well, or stuck in a blizzard. James Harden
is a net.
Who apparently weighs as much as I do now.
Yeah, like,
have you seen looks it? Horrible.
I haven't seen it.
He looks like the before and after in the weight loss commercial. He's the before guy right now. So James Harden goes to the Nets. So that creates the super team thing. I'll get your opinion in a minute. So Harden now teams up with his old running buddy Kevin Durant for Brooklyn. And the Rockets get a shit ton of picks, players,
and pick swaps. And Victor Oladipo.
And we have no idea if Kyrie's going to show up to play with this group.
Right.
The Pacers wind up getting a couple of one player. Well, again, I'll get your opinion on this in a minute. And then the Cavs are involved in this, too, getting a player. So Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated this morning said that he thinks the Nets right now are the favorite to win the East.
No.
And I've heard that from more than one other person. So, Grant, you looked at this trade. You looked at the picks. I have my kind of take on it, but I am casual NBA guy, so okay. I don't know. So let you tell me. Let me just run down the trade. The Nets get Harden and a 2024 second-round pick from Cleveland.
Because you got to throw that in there. So.
The Rockets get Victor Oladipo and Rodions Kurux.
I think it might have been the draft pick.
Dante Exum.
Yep.
Brooklyn's 2022, 2024, and 2026 first-round picks. Milwaukee's first-round pick in 22. And then four unprotected what are called pick swaps. So, assuming if they finish with a lower record, they can swap the pick. The Pacers get something called Caris LeVert. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, he's one of their better players.
And Houston's 2023 second round
pick. Where's he going?
Caris LeVert's going to the Pacers.
Pacers, okay.
Yep. I like that. The Cavs will get Jarrett Allen,
that's
who was a starter for the Nets.
That's key for Brooklyn.
And then Torian Prince, who I assume is filler in this whole thing.
No, he was pretty good, too.
So, based on that, I kind of looked at this from my own point of view, but you tell me, what do you see with this for the Nets and for Harden and for what
they lost a lot of key pieces in that deal.
Okay.
For a guy who's overweight and wants to get the hell out of Houston, which he did. But I'm happy for Harden. He got to a better situation.
Maybe not the way he should have.
Jared Allen was a really crucial piece because he was our rim protector. Now it's an old DeAndre Jordan. That's not good for the Nets. And I worry with... They're not the best team. I think in the East, it's between the Bucks and them. I think Giannis would be pissed that he didn't get to the finals last year. He wants to get there this year. And just that the Bucks are a team, if Giannis can get everybody else to come together around him, they will be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I want to ask you a question quick. Is Kyrie Irving the most overrated player in the NBA?
I don't know what to make of him because honestly, we haven't seen him.
No, because like when he was in Cleveland,
well, but again,
he was riding LeBron's coattails. Exactly, I get that. But he's like, I could do this on my own. He goes to Boston. Those teams were good in Boston,
but he wasn't healthy there either.
But that wasn't. But he wasn't the reason they were good. That's because Boston had a nice young team around him. He goes to Brooklyn. And he's been hurt most of the time. So I don't know what to make of Kyrie and James Harden and Kevin Durant are such ball dominant guys. That they're going to have to fight over who wants more of the possessions. And just with the Lakers, they're the best team in the NBA. Can you dispute that? Who's better, Nets or Lakers?
Right now, the Lakers are the best, and the record bears it out.
When they played the Wolves, I know it's the Wolves. I get it when we watch them. But they move the ball all over the place. Kyle Kuzma's improving big time. It's the way they spread the ball around and the way they improve their team over the offseason. The Lakers are by far the best team in the NBA. I don't think they're worried about the Nets. I think they're worried about the Clippers. Because the Clippers are really the only team I can really compete with them because Paul George has actually gotten better since the playoff run. And the West has been kind of... It's been okay. It hasn't been as good as people thought it would be out of the gate. And it should be a Lakers-Nets final, so I like the Lakers in six.
Lakers are the highest scoring team per game in the Western
Conference. They're dominant.
I've been surpassed now, but
they're unbeaten.
But
on
their
the road.
Victory margin, undefeated on the road, and their victory margin is outside of Milwaukee. The only two teams to win in double digit averages the rest this whole year are the Lakers at 10.5 points per win, and Milwaukee at 11.4. The Eastern Conference standings right now are a jumbled mess. Now, granted, we're what a third of the way or whatever into a 72 game season,
right?
But Brooklyn's 7-6; they're mediocre. Okay, this obviously you would think would help them bring it to the next level. But now, again, casual NBA guy has a question.
Okay.
Spencer Dinwiddie, right? Partially tore his ACL.
Yes.
Okay. I wonder how this deal looks if he's healthy. I wonder if
he'd be a bench player.
Yeah.
He'd just be a backup.
And DeAndre Jordan, as I know, and again, casual NBA guy knows that DeAndre Jordan is a horrible free throw shooter.
He's old and he doesn't have the step he used to have. Right. It's just like that's the one piece that I don't think Brooklyn should have traded was Jared Allen.
But don't you think they had to give up Allen because they needed to give had to give something to get the Harden.
Right, but it's just they need to get a center. DeAndre Jordan's not the answer. You need a better center than him. You need a younger, more agile center than him. Okay,
but they can probably get by without it for what they need. I mean,
right? But I don't think they're going to gel that well. And with Kyrie, because assuming Kyrie comes back and they're all there playing on the same court, they're going to fight over shots. They're going to fight over who gets the ball. Kyrie's going to decide, man, I've been a bucket all night, and I want to score, but KD's open. What do I do?
Hell of a thing, too, to be a first-year head coach and Steve Nash and try to put this all together. That's the thing I think is...
It's Steve Nash. He'll be okay.
Underspoken in this whole scenario is that he's never had to coach a team. Now, as we all know, ex-point guards tend to be a little bit better at coaching in their...
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, in their secondary lives.
Nate McMillan.
But I'm curious to see how that all gels with Nash and if he can get this group to get together. The reason I get a little uncomfortable if I'm... Now, the Rockets have... These are draft picks. This is what these are all for.
But also, they got Oladipo in that deal, which means they have...
But can he stay healthy?
That's the question. If he can, then DeMarcus Cousins stays healthy. They got a big three in Houston.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins is a wild card unto himself because he can't shut the hell up. But
he can't shut the hell up when he's injured, but I mean, maybe when he wanted.
But Oladipo's a nice kid. He was with Magic before, right?
Oladipo?
Yeah, then now he went to Magic. Then the Pacers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Kirk's, I'm told, is a bench guy mostly. Exum is out for 6 to 8 weeks because he screwed up his hamstring. He's the Cavs piece. Is he a Kentucky guy, I think, or something like
Exum,
that?
Exum, I think he was.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then obviously the draft picks, because I think they owe a couple draft picks to the Thunder, the Rockets do.
more draft picks to the Thunder?
Well, no, they owe them a couple. They owe the Thunder a couple picks, so that's what these are going to... A couple of these are going to replace the picks they have.
God, how many first-round picks the Thunder have at this point?
Caris LeVert?
LeVert.
So he scored 43 points a few weeks ago in, like, one of the Nets' first games.
The Pacers got a great deal.
And he's going to fit in now, I think, from what I'm told.
He's going to fit the Oladipo
with
role.
Malcolm Brogdon?
Brogdon.
Is going to be... That's going to be a fun...
Brogdon and Sabonis, yeah. That's a big three right there in Indiana.
Fun backcourt to watch.
Yeah.
And absolutely. You said you like, by the way, the other guy that the Rockets have, we can't forget about John Wall.
Yeah.
And we can't forget about Christian...
Christian Wood.
Who had a 15-10 game, I think, last night.
Most improved player by far.
He's gotten a lot of publicity. That's an exciting rotation if they keep him all healthy.
Right. I think Houston's better off without Harden. I mean, seriously.
Cavs are going to have... With Colin Sexton, but Colin...
The Cavs are rebuilding.
And so Jared Allen will be a nice...
Darius Garland, the other guard.
Yeah, Garland was the other one. Casual NBA guy to me says this is a win for everybody. I think the Rockets, they weren't going to win this year anyway.
The Rockets and Pacers got great deals for what they gave up. What they got back was better.
You think the Nets...
I think the Nets, they did what they had to do to contend. I don't think... They're not... Because my question is, LeBron, because, you know, KD's won 2 titles. He beat LeBron twice. But because LeBron had no help. He's had no help in the finals he lost to the Warriors. He had zero help.
Brooklyn's going to have to get out of the East, first of all.
Yeah, and that the East is better than we thought. There are a lot of contending teams in the Eastern Conference.
If you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now.
It's deep.
It is going to be a dogfight.
I think the NBA is finally back to a balance of power, I think. Right? Yes, there are 2 teams that are better than everybody else, but there's still a chance. Like, the Celtics can get through. Milwaukee can get through. The Nuggets can get through.
Well,
at least there are teams.
A shortened season, there's going to be more of that to be... You have to take advantage of that, and I don't think you can stand around too much longer. By the way, the Wolves finally got back on the board and did win a game.
Did they win tonight?
They lost to San Antonio, but then they went out and beat San Antonio.
And then lost to Memphis, and they up 10 in the fourth quarter.
Right, but
why can't you hold a lead?
But they beat San Antonio. Anyway.
The Wolves, this is not going to be a good year. They're going to be back in the lottery again.
But at least they've managed to get at least a win on the board again. So they're 3-8. They're at the bottom of the Western Conference, but it's early.
There's been a lot of people that are calling for Saunders' head. I mean, they want Saunders gone. And I'm just like, well,
let's everybody take a few deep breaths.
Right,
on that one.
But I mean, Cat was gone for a couple weeks, and that screwed them up to begin. Without Cat, they just
Then they had Okogie was out.
I think Malik Beasley played really well.
But like when you go on Instagram and you look at the NBA, they blow,
which I don't,
they blow up LaMelo Ball every day because he's LaMelo Ball. When Anthony Edwards was the best player in this draft, and it's pretty clear.
Edwards having a nice start.
A great start to his season. I think he's playing better than LaMelo Ball. Yeah, LaMelo Ball had a triple double. Who cares? Russell Westbrook has plenty of those. I mean,
yeah.
As a guard,
he's an 8-1
trick guy, as a guard, it's gotten easier to get a triple double. It seems like because you can score. You can get a lot of points. You can score. You can get a lot of assists because you're a point guard.
Yeah, there's more offense.
Right, and and centers don't have to get the rebound every time. It's not like Akeem where he got, like, you know, 34 rebounds in the game, which he did all the time. And now right. It's just like anybody can get the rebound. Doesn't matter.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting if this early part of the NBA schedule plays out to see where this all leads. But I definitely think it's going to be more fun to watch. You like my casual NBA guy knowledge there dropping on there?
You looked it up, so.
Yeah. But no, but that's part of preparation, son. Preparation.
I just know it, so I'm not.
Yeah, well.
You don't know who Caris LeVert even is.
I know, but I knew he scored 43 the other night.
Because you looked it up.
That's because I did my homework. Because I'm breaking down I'm a baller. I'm breaking down NBA games. No? All right. Let's move to a subject I do know something a little bit about. The National Football League. Divisional playoff weekend. We start. The number one seed, the Green Bay Packers.
Who cares?
You don't like the Green Bay Packers.
Hell no.
Of course you don't.
Hell no.
No, and not saying that you should.
No.
But going up against, you know, the team that's got a run going.
Hit that horn!
Rams.
Now.
By the way, picks contest, we were both 2-4 last week.
Yeah, the upper hand because of the over-under.
But I have the one point lead on the over-under, so just let's get that on the record. Rams going to Lambeau are 6.5-point underdogs to the Packers. Rams are 40. The 45.5 is the over-under. Grant, the Rams will start Jared Goff, it appears, in this game. Still not with a whole thumb.
Right.
Packers 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 playoff games.
Who cares?
Rams have not covered in their last 6 games against Green Bay.
Who cares?
Rams carry the number one defense in the NFL into this game.
That matters.
Number one passing defense.
Yep.
And the number three rush defense and the number one scoring defense. Aaron Donald might not be 100%, but going to play. Packers at home. Weather's supposed to be about 33 degrees, roughly.
It's going to be 34 degrees and sunny. The weather will not be a factor.
Rams have a decent offense. Packers have the top five offense, 9-8 in pass and rush, respectively. So, what do you think? Green Bay, number one seed against the 6-seed Rams.
The Packers will lose this outright. I'm taking the Rams to win this game.
You're taking the Rams?
The Rams
plus the 6.5?
Yep.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
And the over, obviously.
You're taking the over?
I'm taking the Rams and the over. Here's why.
Wow.
That's because I hate...
This is a major thing right out of the gate.
That's because I hate Green Bay.
Well, I know you hate Green Bay.
It's also because...
Wow.
The corner for the Rams, his name's escaped me. Jalen Ramsey, you said,
yeah,
right? He's pretty damn good. And
who's going to cover Tanya?
Who cares? I mean, seriously. Who cares?
Just ask him.
I mean, Alan Lazard's their second option. Don't care. The Rams have an underrated set of corners other than Ramsey. There are 3 other guys that are really good, and then they can cover a lot of different guys. But Rodgers is going to have to look for a second option that's not Devontae Adams. Because when he drops back to pass, his number one option is 17 going down the sideline. He's looking for 17 every play. And you know what? If you follow the Vikings game plan, you're going to win this game. Adams can score, and that's fantastic, but if you keep the ball out of his hands, you run the ball with the screen with Cam Akers in the screen game with that solid offensive line that the Rams have, and the Rams' rushing offense is better than the Packers' defense. When Dalvin played against the Packers in October, the Vikes ran all over Green Bay, and the Rams' offensive line is better than Minnesota's, and the Rams can run the ball on the Packers at will because the Packers their run defense isn't even that good. I'm not worried that just because of the Rams, it's the Rams, Los Angeles team going to Green Bay. Rams is going to cover Adams. I'm taking the Rams to win this game.
Obviously, you're taking Green Bay, but that's.
Oh, I'm absolutely taking Green Bay. Go ahead. I'm absolutely taking Green Bay. I'm taking a -6.5. If the line was bigger, I'd absolutely take the Rams, but no chance Green Bay loses this game. You straight sure? up or cover. No, there's no chance Green Bay loses. Here's sure? why. Okay. Aaron Rodgers isn't Russell Wilson turning the ball over. Tell me how the Rams are going to score. Jared Goff can't throw.
They can run.
Great.
They got a damn good rushing
Cam now. Akers ain't Dalvin Cook.
Right, but he's still a damn good running back.
Ain't Dalvin Cook.
He's still good.
And this Rams offensive line, while it's good, I don't see them being able to go in there. And they're going to have to put up 24 points to beat the Packers. They're not going to get handed a pick six. All right? They're playing in adverse weather conditions
that don't fit well. Oh, come
on. West Coast teams.
It's above freezing.
West Coast teams don't travel generally well and play in environments like this. It's a fact. It's a fact. Okay? A beat-up Goff and a temperature he's not comfortable with. He doesn't necessarily know if he's even going to have Cooper Kupp at full speed. I just don't see Rodgers going in and losing a game like this. Now,
it's been the Packers have done it a lot of times recently. So
really name them.
On the spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, so you don't know. All right. Let's look at you want to look at recent Green Bay playoff losses? We can do that.
I do.
All right. So let's consider the following. The Packers, in their last playoff losses, why have they lost the game?
Because they couldn't defend the run.
Yeah, and
The Niners ran roughshod over.
Yeah, the Niners had a much, much better offense than the Rams do right now. Okay? It's not even close. Okay? I don't see this being that big an issue. All right? Now, the last other times they went into the conference title game, of course. You know, lost to the Falcons. You know, lost to the Cardinals in a shootout.
The Cardinals.
So, I'm not too concerned in this particular instance that they're going
to
have
lost to the Giants
too big a problem. What, are we talking in the Rodgers era or the Favre era?
The Rodgers era.
Okay.
They lost him when they were 15-1.
Right.
They lost to the Giants.
I get that. Of course, they had won the whole thing before that.
Right.
I just don't see this as a setup where Green Bay is going to lose. And trust me, I hope you're right. But I'm going to take Green Bay -6.5. I think they'll hit the over just barely. But I don't think the Rams have any chance to win this game outright. They might cover.
Rodgers has to find a second option. He has to. He has to.
Robert Tonyan, Alan Lazard.
Right, and with the best secondary.
Oh, and don't forget Aaron Jones. He's not bad.
With the best secondary in the NFL and Aaron Donald. I'll take my chance with the number one.
Maybe so, but you know that Rodgers will use that.
He'll pull some BS, and I'm well aware of that. Yeah. But it's just like, I'll take number one defense.
Seattle handed the Rams the game on a silver platter, and they took it. They won't be so lucky with
it. They still stopped them consistently. It's not like it was
never. But Seattle's offense just doesn't. Well. And case in point, they fired Brian Schottenheimer today.
Humahire, yes.
And I'm like, that doesn't surprise me because the whole offense is bullshit anyway.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is in Seattle. It's going to be.
And Green Bay's offensive line isn't dog shit like Seattle's.
Bakhtiari's out.
Yeah, but they're going to put Jared Veldheer in there, and he knows it just as well as anybody.
No, he doesn't.
So
practice squad guy who played one game.
You don't know who Jared Veldheer even is, do you?
I don't play a game for the Colts.
Right, so he's going to be the first guy to play a playoff game for two different teams.
Who cares?
So they'll be fine. You're going to lose this one. But I admire it's a bold choice. Yeah, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
I hate Green Bay. I can't pick Green Bay in anything. So
that's an irrational way to pick football.
Don't like them.
That's fine. That's all right.
That's deep. So
let's move on. Ravens, 12-5, go to the 14-3 Bills for divisional weekend.
This seems like a game of Bills. The Bills will lose.
Bills are 2.5-point favorites against the Ravens. The over-under is 50. Stat of the day here, Bills, of course, have the second-ranked offense. T.J. Yeldon will start for Zach Moss, who is out. Another Alabama running back.
There might be a lot of them.
Lamar Jackson, again, he's gotten back to where he was last year. Now can he take him one step further? The over-under is 50. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites at Orchard Park. Grant, what do you got?
Well, the Bills are going to win this game, so yeah, I'll take the Bills. The over-under is tricky because Buffalo didn't look very impressive against the Colts. In my opinion, they did not look spectacular. They didn't look like a two-seed should play. The Colts were able to hang around in that game and almost won the game.
Hanging around, yes.
Yep. They almost won the game at the end. So I'm going to say slightly over because Lamar wants to prove he can win another playoff game against the two seed. I want to see if he can do that. I'm going to take this slightly over because Lamar is going to drive this team to try to get over. So Bills and the over.
So you got Bills minus 2.5 and the over. I agree 100% with you. And the Ravens, again, you can't have a greater disparity than this. The Ravens are number 32 Ooh. In the league in passing. Pass. How many teams are in the National Football League?
I think 32.
Correct. That would be 32 out of 32. That would be the worst.
That'd be dead last.
They have a number one rushing offense in the National Football League.
There are 32 teams, they're number one.
Yes. That's good. So that combines to a 19th ranked offense.
So they're the best and the worst.
They're the best of the lousiest and the lousiest of the best.
I know exactly. The one-eyed man is king.
The Bills are the number two offense in the league.
Damn.
All right. The Ravens have the number two defense in the league. Okay. Bills defense, mediocre at
best. So one versus one. Two. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Bills have that mojo that I think if Josh Allen needs to make a throw...
He can.
And they have the better receiving core.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm thinking that that's going to be enough. Because... And if the Ravens get behind by more than 10...
They are screwed. It's over.
Yeah.
We are screwed.
It's Michael Scott all over again. So
closing the branch.
So we'll take the Bills minus the 2.5 and the over. Sunday. The defending champions make their first appearance. The Chiefs at 14-2
against the Steelers. Right now, the Browns.
The 12-5 Browns, with presumably the COVID-infested Kevin Stefanski returning.
Right.
Chiefs are minus 10 at home with an over/under of 57. I won't take long here. Chiefs are going to win and they're going to roll. Correct. The Browns' defense is mediocre at best, and on a good day, they might be able to slow.
And they still gave up over 30 points.
Chiefs. So yeah. The Chiefs are the number one offense in the National Football League, and they are the number one passing offense in the league.
Again, do you think that the Chiefs are just bored and want
yes.
the competition?
The Browns,
I'm on the same boat you are.
The so. Browns are number 24 in the league against the pass.
Ooh. Doesn't work well against the Chiefs.
Ouch. I'm sorry, number 22. They're not that terrible.
Again, still. Ooh.
Number 21 defense. The Browns have the worst statistical defense remaining in the league. It won't last.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are going to roll him. Mahomes has had 2 weeks. He's ready. He and Kelsey, according to what I read in the Kansas City Star, have been working all week on specific defenses, offenses to combat the Browns. You know with the time to prepare, Andy Reid will be dangerous. This game won't be close. The Chiefs will win it. They will roll it. Give me the Chiefs minus the 10 and the over.
Well, you said it. I'm taking the same things you are. I think I commend the Browns for winning a playoff game. They did what I didn't think they would do for at least another couple years. I commend them for it. But this is against the best team in this league, and there's no discussion on who the best team in this league is. It's defending Super Bowl champions and Arrowhead. They are the best. There's
100% correct.
No discussion. They will win this game. They're going to win. I think the Browns are an cute story. They won a playoff game against their rivals. I mean, it made the Steelers fire three coaches. I mean, they did what they destroyed the Steelers in one night. That was great. I loved every second of it. But this is Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. Last game of the weekend.
Tampa.
Bucks Saints. Bucks at 12-5, 13-4, for the Saints.
Tampa.
Can I get the line
out? Sure.
Saints minus 3
Tampa.
And 52 is the over-under.
Tampa. Tampa.
Go ahead, tell me why.
This is Tampa Bay, and this is the reason why. This is Brady. This is the playoffs. I think nothing would warm his heart more than sending out another old man into retirement. That's Drew Brees. He's going to go do his broadcasting at NBC, and he'll be great at that. But this is Brady, and he's never lost the same team 3 times in 1 year. I know that's a BS stat, but this is Brady. He's not going to let the Saints let a clean sweep over his head. He's going to want to get at least one. Nothing would warm his heart more
and going into the Superdome and beating Breeze in a playoff game.
All right, so you got the Bucks plus three then.
Absolutely.
52 is the over.
Blow up the over.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you got Bucks plus three in the over.
Yes, I think because Brady, that 38-3 shellacking they got in Tampa, like that wasn't in the back of his mind. That the Saints think that they're way better than us. And they, let them say, they beat us twice. They get it. But my team's gotten a lot better since then. My receiving core, we're working really well. The defense has gotten better. Tampa.
I'm going to take the Bucks plus the three also because, again, they were my Super Bowl pick, so I'm going to stay loyal to them. I'm going to take the under.
Under
however.
Why?
I'm going to take the under. Why? Because both these defenses are top 10 defenses. Even in the previous games that were played, they didn't touch 52. The Saints' offense is not as potent as it once was. You saw it against the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
Who have a good defense. Now, despite the fact that you roll your eyes,
the Vikings
and the green
slide
end zones,
beat them at Soldier Field.
Doesn't matter. But did the Vikings light up the scoreboard?
They don't, but it's their receivers are really good against the Bears.
These two teams are so familiar with each other from the divisions. And again, I keep coming back to the stat, and because it's bullshit, I need to reiterate it. The team has played another team a third time, the common myth, oh, it's so tough to beat a team three times in a row. No, it isn't. 14 out of 21 times.
I'm not saying
let me finish. Okay. 14 out of 21 times, the team that won the first two wins the third game. Two out of three. Now, is this the two out of three where it doesn't happen? Yeah, I think so. Because I think Tampa Bay is a much better team than that shellacking they got from the Saints. And I think earlier, I don't think the Saints... Look, the Saints put the wood to the Vikings and scored 52 on them, all right?
With an injured defense.
With a shit defense. And Alvin Kamara going nuts. When they played a professional-level defense in Chicago... That game was not put away until the fourth quarter with the Bears. If they had any sort of pulse on offense, one completed pass by the Bears in that end zone, that's a whole different game.
Right.
And we're talking about green slime in the end zone all day.
And maybe they would have fired Nagy and Ryan Pace, but they didn't.
So they didn't. But I don't think that the Saints have the firepower to score a ton of points. They're going to frustrate Brady.
Tampa does, though.
But Tampa's defense... is where I think you're not giving them enough credit because I think they'll slow down the Saints, and I think this is going to be an interesting game. I think you're going to have like a 21-17 type game either way, but I'm going to take the Bucks if I'm getting a field goal. I'm absolutely taking Tampa. So there we go. So Bucks plus the three and the over for you, Bucks plus the three and the under for me. So to recap, we are both on the Bucks plus the three. The Chiefs minus 10, the Bills minus 2.5. Grant is on the Rams plus the 6.5 at Green Bay. I'm on the Packers, and both of us taking the over in that game. The over in the Bills game, the over in the Chiefs game. Grant has the over, and then it's the Bucks, and I'm on the under for that game. So yeah, it'll be interesting. It's the best weekend of football we get in an overall year. Couple news items quickly for you, Grant, just we want to react to.
Okay.
We saw today, and just announced in the last few minutes, I got another one that you probably haven't seen yet. Urban Meyer hired as the Jacksonville head coach. Thoughts on that?
Love it. Love it. Follow-up question. If Urban wasn't promised Trevor Lawrence, would he have gone to Jacksonville?
Would he take Justin Fields because it's Ohio State?
He won't. It's a legit question, you're right, but the generational talent is the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I hate that phrase.
Yeah, I know.
I hate it. Because Jeff Georgioi turned out to be really great, wasn't he?
$1 million arm.
Andrew Luck, when he lasted 8 seasons in the NFL. I'm throwing that term.
Wide 70!
I think he was the best quarterback. I think he was the best quarterback.
Captain Andrew Luck?
I think he was the best quarterback this season. Okay? I think he's been the best quarterback for a couple of years. But Mac Jones had a better CFP than he did. Justin Fields had a better CFP than Trevor Lawrence did. It's the big... I mean, he won one as a freshman. I get it. But that was with a loaded roster at Clemson. I mean, they were loaded. When they had a lesser team, he didn't play as well. So, I feel like in Jacksonville, he might make him a 5 or 6 win team, but he's going to need more to win.
Meyer spent a little time at Illinois State back in the day. Now he gets James Robinson and
DJ Chark and Ben Olufsen. I mean, he's got a good team.
Got some good boys. So it'll be fun to watch Meyer in a professional setting when he doesn't have to worry about the recruiting,
right?
And just has to worry about coaching,
right?
Be fun, and certainly that division is gettable.
I'm surprised Bieniemy wasn't hired as a coach. Why isn't he a head coach?
Well, I think that's coming, but the other one who you probably haven't seen tonight is Robert Saleh has been hired by the Jets.
The Jets?
Which has got to be driving...
Are you kidding me, Detroit?
Detroit has got to be...
Are you kidding me?
That literally just broke here within...
While
we've been on the air.
Are you kidding me?
They decided to go with that.
For the Jets, that's a great hire.
It's a five-year deal.
It's a great hire.
The Jets had conducted a second interview with Arthur Smith, but that did not obviously go. Saleh is going to take Mike LaFleur, who is Matt LaFleur's brother, is going to be the offensive coordinator. He is the passing game coordinator. Always love the passing game coordinator. Mike LaFleur is going to go and be the offensive coordinator for the Jets. So, they left... Arthur Smith is still out there. Obviously, he's a frontrunner. The word is that he is a thought process in Atlanta if they don't stick with Raheem Morris.
They should.
I would expect Derek Bieniemy to be in the line for one of these jobs, not the Texans. But then Arthur Smith might be a Houston candidate, too, because they might like the fact that he's in that division.
It could be an interesting choice.
So we've got Tennessee, Atlanta, Houston... And what's the other? I'm missing one, I'm sure.
Philly
would be the other one. So those are the...
What are you doing? What Detroit? He's from Michigan. He wants to coach there.
I wonder if he was ever even in the discussion.
The Jets, that's a great hire for the Jets. They need somebody like
Saleh. Well, and the nice thing...
They need someone like him.
Saleh now is going to get... presumably he'll get Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And
Or that Lane Sewell guy from Oregon. They need a left tackle.
That'll be interesting. You always wonder with defensive coaches, and Zimmer's a good example of this.
They take a lot of defensive
Do they
guys.
Just... Now, if you got LaFleur as the passing game coordinator...
Fields.
To me, that would open up a lot
of... Or is it Zach Wilson?
I don't know. It's not going to be
like
Zach Wilson.
Like, McShane and Kuiper have been going fourth to Atlanta. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I don't understand.
What makes him so special? I mean... Lack of talent. He plays worse talent than Trey Lance does. I mean, it's just nothing. When he played one good team in Coastal Carolina, which is that's worth, he sucked.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to feel against a guy like him. But for the Jets, Saleh is a terrific hire. But I'm not worried about the Jets. It's the Lions that are worrying that to me. What are they thinking? I mean, they need someone like Saleh.
The fact that they weren't even in the conversation, apparently. And we'll find out more about that, but I wonder if they aren't looking to go to an offensive hire, and maybe they want Bieniemy. And that, to me, would be a logical choice for them, because they need an offensive coach in Detroit.
He sits back and he's like, I want to be a head coach of one of these teams. Which one makes the most sense?
Well, you're right. And if you look
Detroit is not a good one for him.
No, but the other thing that would intrigue me is having him in Philadelphia with some toys. That would be interesting.
That would be my thing.
But so we have Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Tennessee. Who am I missing?
Say those names again.
Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Tennessee.
You said Philly?
Yeah,
okay,
I said Philly.
I think that's it then.
No, I thought there were seven openings, coaching openings that were left.
Well, two were filled, so...
Right. What are we missing there? Is that... Because I'm trying to think who goes with where...
Right, that's what I was going to ask. Who is the coach for each team?
Yeah. Well, if I look at it right now... I'm just trying to look, and I'll look it up here. I'm stalling for Google time here. So Atlanta, Detroit, Houston... Houston's the other one. That's one.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So we got five head coaching positions that are open in there. And we think we're almost certain it's going to be of some kind. It's going to be Bieniemy. It's going to be Arthur Smith. Is going to be that. We're reasonably sure that those two guys are for sure in the running. My guess would also be that Detroit would have interest in Brian Daboll from...
Brian Daboll.
From the Bills. would be one of the...
The Ravens offensive coordinator is getting some looks.
Wink Martindale has had a discussion. That could be part of it. You know, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. I'm sure we're missing some obvious...
I think Atlanta should stick with Raheem Morris. I think he's a good fit for Atlanta.
By the way, Anthony Lynn, offensive coordinator. The Vikes need an offensive coordinator.
But he's close with Zimmer, and he runs some of the same stuff. And I'm like, they need to try something new. Because, yeah, the play-action stuff with Kirk worked for 1 year, but it's not consistent. And I think the Vikings need to develop a sure... Because a lot of teams that can drop back and pass. The Vikes can't. They need to run the play-action for the pass to work. They need to develop... Because maybe they'll throw teams off if they just run a straight pass offense.
Just the other names, just to
right.
throw
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, out there.
But not sure what to do next.
I am not sure what to do next.
Can you turn it off?
I don't think I actually can. Jesus Christ. At a free matching wedding. did you know that I can get a free matching wedding website? That's beautiful.
Oh, good, yeah, Joe, turn it off.
Todd Bowles, Bucks. Might be. No. Joe Brady from the Panthers.
Yes.
Nathaniel Hackett, who's the Panthers offensive coordinator.
No.
Would be Raheem. Raheem Morris could be in there.
He should stay in my mind.
Marvin Lewis. Forgot about Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
He has interviewed.
Yeah. I forgot.
Marvin Lewis has interviewed with Detroit and with Houston.
I'd love him to go to Houston. That would make a lot of sense.
Jim Caldwell has interviewed.
Can you go back to Detroit? I mean...
Oh, I'm sorry, Detroit. Well, Bevel's interviewed. Obviously, he ain't going to get the job. Bieniemy, Bowles, Dan Campbell from the Saints.
Would be the other one. Is he a tight ends coach?
He is a tight ends coach.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Hey, he's in Miami.
I'm sorry. Who else are we forgetting? The Chargers. We forgot the Chargers.
Oh, yeah,
on our
right.
List.
Right, I suppose. Yeah.
That's the other team we forgot. And they want to interview Bieniemy.
I think Bieniemy going to LA would be fantastic for the Chargers.
So, one other, and again, we're running up against the clock here, so I don't want to spend. We'll have plenty of time to get into coaching.
Your 2 minute drill begins
right now. Gus Bradley hired as defensive coordinator for Vegas, so former Bison staying relevant there. George Payton, Patton, I don't know how you pronounce
George Patton.
It. Patton. Hired as the Broncos general manager, so that he left Minnesota.
He was Spielman's right hand man.
Yeah, so interesting to see how that'll play out.
That's okay.
And one other just note, want to guess how many million people watched the Bears Saints on Nickelodeon?
How many?
2 million.
Nice.
That's a good number.
How many watch the CBS?
That'll be, well, many more. But probably. I guarantee you there's going to be another game on Nickelodeon before too long.
Yeah, there might be an NBA game on there before
too
long.
That could be, and it'd be fun. It'd be actually pretty fun.
Even when Cordell Paris is dropping the F-bomb on national TV.
Yeah, which they'll never live that down, but maybe they'll bring that one on Squidward.
Mommy, what is the
I don't
F-word
even,
mean?
Yeah, not worth discussing, but
no.
Anyway, that'll be. It was fun to see those kind of numbers come in. Woo! We went through a lot of show. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And you can check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. Links to all of our previous shows and continued conversation why Coastal Carolina will forever and always suck. The fraudulent roosters are terrible. Grant, how do we find us?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. Follow us, _legend_mouth_pod. _legend_mouth_pod. DM us like, if you like this or hate the show, we don't care. It's DM us, please subscribe to the YouTube channel.
We will break down the entirety of the NFL playoffs for you next week on our Monday broadcast. We'll see how it all shapes out, and we'll look ahead to conference championship weekend. At that point, we'll talk about the Bison weekend in review, how they fared against the Fighting Squawks. As we prepare to move to the final throes of the NFL season, going to be fun. See you on Monday. Have a good weekend, and Legend and the Loudmouth.